Well, hello everyone, and again I greet you in the precious name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Minor Hawk, your voice of the gospel speaker, coming to you by means of radio with another Christ-honoring gospel program. Now I say that it's Christ-honoring because my only purpose in having this radio program is to present the claims of Jesus Christ as the Savior of sinners. I'm not here to preach a creed, a doctrine, or code of morality. I'm not here to preach a religious denomination or to exalt man in any way. I'm here to preach the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Yes, that's the gospel, the good news to lost and rebel creatures who are perishing in their sin. And friend, I might add that if you've never been saved or born again into the family of God, then whether you realize it or not, you're on the broad and crowded road going down to the place that Jesus Christ called hell. Remember what Jesus Christ says over in John chapter 3 and verse 3, that except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now friend, if I were you listening in today and knew that Jesus Christ had made such a statement, and if I also knew that I had never been born again, whatever that means, then I'd want to know how I could be born again and thus be fit for the kingdom of God. Unfortunately, most people think they can reach the kingdom of God by living a good, clean life, or trying to do the best they can, or by being baptized, or joining a church, or trying to keep the Ten Commandments. Listen, friend, there isn't one verse in any version of any Bible on the face of the earth which says that you can reach heaven by good works, ritual, or anything else apart from having faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let's listen to our first hymn for today, and it's entitled, I Am Waiting for the Dawning.
I am waiting for the dawning of that bright and blessed day. When the darksome night of sorrow shall have vanished far away, when forever with the Savior far beyond this veil of tears, I shall song of worship through the everlasting years. I am looking at the brightness, see it shineth from afar, of the clear and joyous beaming of morning. Do I see its glorious light? Then away with every shadow of this sad and weary night.
And I am waiting for the coming of my Lord who died for me. Both his words have thrilled my spirit. I will come again for thee. Hear his footfall on the threshold of the door, and my heart
my heart is longing to be with Him evermore.
Well, friends, I thank God that I, for one, am waiting for the dawning of that bright and glorious day. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is soon going to come to claim from the world His own. Those who have been saved and born again through simple faith in His death at Calvary's cross. You know, I read over there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and beginning at verse 16, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Yes, it's a comforting thought to know that He that shall come, and will not tarry. But my friend, I want you to know, if you're not saved and born again when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, you'll be left behind for divine judgment. So please, friend, please give adherence to the Word of God that you'll hear read and spoken from today. Yes, listen to what God has to say, because you'll never be in God's heaven apart from believing God's Word. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow in Thy presence today to thank Thee again for Thy Son. We thank Thee for the grace and the love and the mercy expressed in His death at Calvary. And our God, we claim Thy promise that Thy Word shall not return void. So, Father, we trust that this might be the day when many who are listening to this voice of the gospel broadcast we'll close in with Thine offer of love and mercy and grace expressed in Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Pluck them as brands from the burning. Save them before it's eternally too late. We'll be careful to give Thee all the thanksgiving and praise, for we ask it in His name. Amen. Now then, let's listen to another lovely tune, and it is entitled, "When This Passing World Is Done." Those of you who care to follow me in the scriptures, I'll be using as my text for today one verse of scripture as we find it in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, and we'll read together verse 9. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Well, friends, today I'd like to discuss with you a subject which I feel I am uniquely qualified to discuss. And that subject is the long-suffering of God. Yes, the long-suffering of God. Friends, if anyone can attest to the long-suffering of God, it's the speaker. For 30 years I rebelled against the God of heaven, and many, many times I knowingly resisted the Holy Spirit of God. And you know, when I think of how God spared my life, and how he continually manifested his love and mercy and grace toward me, well, I must confess, I can't understand such love. No, I can't comprehend with my mere finite mind how God could love me so much that he was willing to send his only Son into the world to die on the old rugged cross for my sin. Friends, I read in Romans 5 and 8 that God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Again, in 1 John 4 and 10, we're told, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. And finally, I think of the most wonderful words ever uttered. Yes, in John 3 and verse 16, the Lord Jesus Christ says, for God so loved the world, and that means everyone, Baptists, Presbyterians, Methodists, and Catholics, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And sinner friend, I thank God today that his grace abounds greater than our sin. Because back on June the 2nd of 1952, I responded to the Holy Spirit of God and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my own and personal Savior. And friends, I've never been sorry. No, you can go from east to west and from the North Pole to the South Pole, and you'll never find one person who ever trusted the Lord Jesus Christ who was ever sorry they did so. Ah, no, we found him to be all that he ever claimed to be. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Yes, he's the one who will never leave nor forsake his own. And sinner friend, if I do nothing else on this program today, I want to recommend to you the sinner's Savior and everlasting friend, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that there are countless Christians listening in today who join me in urging you to trust the sinner Savior and to know the joy of sins forgiven. I'm sure that I speak for all truly born-again Christians listening in today when I say that we wouldn't trade our salvation for all the wealth in the world. And we often wonder how we ever got along without the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Now, friends, here in our text, 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, we read, first of all, about the long-suffering of God. And you know, the Bible has much to say about this characteristic of God. We read of his long-suffering with Cain in Genesis chapter 4, when he offered Cain another opportunity to bring forth a bloody sacrifice. In Genesis chapter 7, we read of God's long-suffering with the antediluvians in Noah's day. You recall how he permitted them to heed the warning regarding the flood for 120 years. And even after the 8 persons entered the ark, and the door was shut, the ark sat there with its occupants for 7 days before the rains came. Friends, God was long-suffering during those 7 days, and yet not one person sought to enter the ark. Then you recall how patient and long-suffering God was with the evil-hearted Pharaoh when God's people were in bondage down in Egypt. And then I think of his long-suffering towards the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, when Abraham was pleading with God to spare the cities if he could find 50, 45, 40, 20, or even 10 righteous people in the doomed cities. And mind you, friend, God was willing to spare the sinful cities of the plain if Abraham could find only 10 righteous people living there. But they were not to be found. Yes, God was truly long-suffering to those people too. And you recall how patiently God waited 7 days before the city of Jericho was to be destroyed by Joshua. Yes, over and over again we read of how God is long-suffering to his creature man. And the reason for his long-suffering is always the same, because he was not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Again, in Ezekiel 33 and verse 11, we're told that God desires not the death of the wicked, but that the wicked should turn from his evil ways and live. And sinner friend, the edict by God is still the same today. It's either turn or burn. Now friends, our text, 2 Peter 3 and 9, not only reveals the long-suffering of God, but it also reveals the object of his great compassion. The verse says that he is long-suffering to usward. Usward. In other words, his love and mercy and grace are available to everyone who will come to him through faith in Jesus Christ, his Son. Yes, the salvation of God is for the rich and the poor, the old and the young, the tramp and the teacher, the pope and the peasant, the Russian and the American, the Catholic, Protestant, or Jew. Sinner friend, we read in 1 Timothy 2 and 4 that God would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now perhaps someone is saying, like Pilate of old, what is truth? Well friends, truth is not a philosophical football that bounces around in the university classrooms these days and taught by godless professors. Ah no, truth is a person. And that person is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 14 and 6 he declares, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. Again in John chapter 1 and verse 14 we're told that the Lord Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth. Friends, philosophers for centuries have been trying to determine what truth is. And when they had truth personified in the Lord Jesus Christ, they revealed their hatred for truth by crucifying him on the old rugged cross. Now getting back to our text, we notice that the patience or long-suffering of God is to usward. Yes, to usward. The Apostle Paul tells us over in Romans 5 and 8 that God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thank God he died for us. Friends, the reason the Lord Jesus Christ came to save everyone who would trust in him is simply because we're all sinners. We're all rebel creatures of God. And we're all lost and spiritually dead unless we've been saved or born again. Now over in Romans chapter 3, we read of God's indictment against all mankind. And here's how he sums it all up in verse 23. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, regardless of how religious, how virtuous, how sincere we may be in the sight of our fellow man, friends, if we've never been born again through faith in the blood of Christ, then according to God, not according to Minor Hawk, but according to God, we're all lost, guilty, rebel creatures, and we're on the broad road that leads to hell and the lake of fire. Now, I know that you modernists and you jelly-spined preachers who may be listening in today don't like to hear this fact brought before you, because it's contrary to what you believe and what you preach. But friend, listen. The Word of God makes it quite clear that God is not only a long-suffering God of love, but if a sinner rebels against and refuses God's love, then he'll soon fall victim to the wrath of a sin-hating God. And that simply means the flames of hell and the ultimate lake of fire. And furthermore, sinner friend, don't let anyone ever tell you that poppycock theory that hell is the grave or just a separation from God. Oh, no. Hell, according to the Lord Jesus Christ himself, is the place of eternal torment for all those who die unsaved without having trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. Now, friends, our text, 2 Peter 3 and 9, also tells us very clearly the purpose of God's long-suffering towards us, and that is that all should come to repentance. Friends, on every hand, we hear and read of people expressing their opinion on what the world is in need of today. Some say we need stronger military forces. Others say we need cures for dreaded disease such as cancer and multiple sclerosis. Still others say we need remedies for the skyrocketing population. Perhaps even some think we ought to guard more against nuclear fallout, world poverty, and even the common cold. Listen, my friend. What this world needs more than anything else today is old-fashioned, Holy Ghost-induced salvation. And that can only come about when sinners are willing to repent. Now, I didn't say reform. I said repent. Reformation is by the will of man, but repentance is brought about by the Holy Spirit and Word of God. Yes, what we need today is to see people acknowledging their sinnership in God's sight, admitting, my friend, of their spiritual depravity, then crying out to God for mercy. You know, a lot of people think that repentance is simply kneeling at the altar or shedding some tears or shaking the preacher's hand or signing a pledge card. But listen, friend, repentance is an action of the heart. It's an inward expression of sorrow for one's sin, and it's a spirit-led deliverance from doing things that are contrary to the word and will of God. And again, let me remind you that repentance takes place in the heart, not only in the head. And this conviction of sin and conversion from sin can only take place when the Holy Spirit of God reveals the sinner's true condition before God. And this is done by the Word of God. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ in John 6:44 said, "No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him." Now perhaps there's someone listening in who is depending upon having a chance to repent on their deathbed. Well, friend, first of all, you may never have a deathbed. You might be cut down in an accident or by a heart attack in a matter of seconds, and you wouldn't have a chance to repent. Furthermore, people who are on their deathbed don't even realize it, because if they're conscious at all, they're usually more concerned about their physical condition than they are about their spiritual condition. Listen, my friend, in Acts 17:30-31, here's what we read. "God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because he hath appointed the day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness." Did you notice that God wants the sinner to repent? Now. Not tomorrow or next week or next month, but now. Sinner friend, God doesn't give you any assurance for tomorrow. In Proverbs 27:1, God declares, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Again, in 2 Corinthians 6:2, we read, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And even way back there in Isaiah 1:18, God says, "Come now," not tomorrow, "come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Oh, sinner friend, won't you repent of your sin right now? I don't care how great a sinner you may be or how long you've been on your way to hell. No, and it doesn't make any difference whether you're a murderer, harlot, or church-going hypocrite. God is willing to save you right now if you'll simply acknowledge that you're the sinner for whom the Lord Jesus Christ has died. If you'll repent of your sin and trust in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, friend, the Word of God, which cannot lie, says you'll be saved and born again. Now, I can tell you one thing, my friend, and this is on the authority of a God who cannot lie, that if you'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ now, right now, yes, as this program of the gospel comes to a close, simply allow the language of your heart be, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." And friend, if you mean that, and trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ alone to take you in God's heaven, well, this book that I hold in my hand, the Bible, says you'll be saved for time, and thank God, you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow in thy presence again today to thank thee for thy beloved Son. We thank thee for the grace that brought him from heaven to earth to die on the cross for our sin. We thank thee, our God, that it wasn't nails that kept him on the cross. It was his great heart of love. Love we can't understand, but we thank thee for it nonetheless. Now, Father, we believe there's someone listening in and out in Radio Land today, and they've never been saved. They've never been born again. Oh, they're religious, Lord, and they're so sincere, but they can't honestly look back to a time in their life when after having been convicted by the Spirit of God, they trusted thy Son as their Savior. Father, give them neither rest nor peace till they find it in thy beloved Son. We'll be so careful to give thee all the thanksgiving and praise, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. And if I can be of any further help in pointing you as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, believe me, friend, I'll be only too happy to do so. If you'd like to have some good basic and fundamental gospel literature, I'd be only too happy to send it out to you. Or if you have some question regarding God's salvation, I'll be only too happy to answer you according to the Word of God. Friend, I can't save your soul. The only one that can save your soul is the one who died for your sin at Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that suffered, bled, and died in your guilty room and in your stead. And if you look by faith to Him today, He'll save your soul. In fact, friend, Jesus Christ is more anxious to save your soul than you are to have it saved. So why not bow your heart before God today, take God's Son as your Savior, and know the joy of sins all being washed away in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now, friends, if you'd like to have some literature, you just write to me, and my address is The Voice of the Gospel. That's The Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania. Now, McKeesport is spelled capital M-C, capital K-E-E-S-P-O-R-T. That address again, The Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and the zip code is 15134. And now into our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.